I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, it's a great delight for me to be with you here at St. Dunstan's this morning. I've been in this building quite a number of times over the years, but this is the first time as the bishop. I'm grateful for your faithful ministry over many, many years. I'm grateful to how you reach out to the community beyond these four walls. I'm grateful for how you live out the gospel and your commitment to spiritual renewal and to growth. I'm sure that I don't need to tell you, but your rector, David, is a fine priest, committed and dedicated to a ministry that deepens faith and brings people closer to the good news of Christ. He also does much in our diocese as a whole, and I am thankful for that and also for your willingness to share him. It's good to be here. So when our children were young, there was a long process related to putting them to bed. If you have children or young children in your life, you probably know all about this as well. There was dinner, then a bath, then into pajamas, then stories, and then prayers, and then off to sleep. It was the same most nights, with some variation on occasion. But for my wife and for me, we both felt that this routine was important. Dinner, bath, pajamas, prayers, and stories of all kinds, and then prayers. The stories were varied, but things like Goodnight Moon, the Teddy Bear's Picnic, a whole variety of Dr. Seuss tales, stories of Spot the dog or Bob the builder, and of course a long, long list of others. And then it was time for prayers and a chance to give thanks for the activities of the day and for our family and for other things that were important for them or for me on that day. And then, if I was not already asleep myself, the lights were off and the door was closed. But as I would leave the room so often, I thought about what I wanted for my children, what I prayed for them, and what I hoped for them. And mostly that was about peace, a deep sense of calm, a sense of trust that God was near, that there would be peace in their soul, in their minds, in their hearts, that they would know who they were and whose they were. Jesus walked into the darkened and troubled room filled with at least 11 disciples. And in my mind's eye, he quietly and calmly entered, allowed the silence to grow and the stillness to pervade. And then he said to them in a gentle but at the same time discerning voice, "Peace be with you." All that he wanted for them and was praying for them was in those simple words, "Peace be with you," in your soul, in your mind, in your heart, in your living, in your decisions, in your inner wrestling. May you know peace. It's the same peace that Jesus continues to pray for us now, even right now. Peace be with you. And maybe that is the reason that you are here today. Not to hear me say, peace be with you, but to hear Jesus say to you, directly to you, directly to all of the stress and the concern and the confusion and the worry that is part of your life. Peace be with you. The peace that is beyond all knowledge and understanding be with you. The very prayer that Jesus had for those faithful followers long ago may just be the very words that you need to hear on this day. Again, not from me, but the crucified, the resurrected one, the Savior, the bread breaker, the storyteller, the Son of God, that one, saying the same words to you as he said to those first followers. For we all need to hear this, that we are loved, that we are blessed, that we are known, that we walk not alone in this world, but that we are beloved. There are enough other things that we can hear, words that we say to ourselves or words from others. And so we need to hear this. Peace be with you. There are just so many things in this world that rock that sense of peace within us. We need to hold on to these words like an anchor in a storm, like a rock in a tempest, like an oasis in the desert. Jan Richardson wrote the poem Blessing in the Storm. Hear these words and see if they make sense with that same image of Jesus coming into that room and offering words of such a deep peace that it calms your very soul. Hear these words so that it might affect how you leave this place. That despite all that's going on in our world, that you may know God's peace in you and to discover that you are called to be a bearer of that peace, to be a distributor of that peace, to be a sower of that peace, to be a builder of that peace. This is the poem she wrote. I cannot claim to still the storm that has seized you, cannot calm the waves that wash through your soul, that break against your fierce and aching heart. But I will wade into these waters and stand with you in this storm. We'll say peace to you in the waves, peace to you in the winds, peace to you in every moment that finds you still within the storm. After repeating his words of peace in that house where the doors were locked, Jesus then said this to his faithful followers. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. These words again might feel as if they're aimed at those first great saints of the early church, that they were the ones called by these words, called to live the gospel, sent as Jesus was sent to reveal the kingdom of heaven, the commonwealth of heaven, whose priorities are centered around the grace and the love of God. And it would be true that these words were at first aimed at those in that locked house. But they didn't just stay there. they were meant for us as well. Meant for us who have come to see that we too are called not just to receive the words of Jesus, the words of peace be with you, but to receive them and incorporate them into how we live each and every day, that they might walk with us when we leave this place and follow us throughout the week. In the reading from the first letter of Peter a little earlier, you may remember that Peter was urging the people who listened to his letter to pay attention to what was taking place within them, that they were called to be changed. He phrased it this way. He said, "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house." We are not called to simply hear Jesus' words of peace, but to let them transform and change us so that indeed we are living stones, precious in God's sight. Recently, I read the book Namwiat, which is written by Chief Robert Joseph. Chief Joseph is a large voice in the reconciliation movement within this country. He's someone who is filled with hope that indeed we are called to something more, something deeper, something greater. The word Namwiat means those with whom you are one. This is important as our world tries to move forward. He wrote in this book, he said, "Reconciliation is an ancient imperative." He said, "We can sustain the environment, the resources, the cultures, the rituals, and the ceremonies of us all. This is a well of rich history, of practice and tradition, values and ethics." And he said, "And all we've got to do is open the door to all those sources of knowledge, recognizing our value in all the different ways that we live." He said, "We've got to learn to live with ourselves first. Love ourselves first. And as we grow as individuals, we can become collectives. We can manifest a higher, larger value and purpose that gives hope and inspiration to nations of people." As I closed the door, as my children drifted off to sleep, I prayed that they would know peace in their hearts, in their minds, in their souls. I know, that Jesus prays this for all of us even now. He prays that we would know a deep peace that holds us and grounds us and blesses us at each and every moment. That when we receive the bread and wine of communion, we would see them to be gifts of that same peace, meant to feed us to live into this peace and this hope, meant to give us strength to be sent out into the world so that indeed we may be living stones. May it be so in how we live and walk in this world. Amen.